Hello and welcome to Questcast, your weekly adventure through games. We have a select few things to talk about this week, from people buying or companies buying other companies, shitty practices by others. So let's get into it. First, I guess Prison Architect multiplayer that was announced / I think it already came out. Have you played Prison Architect, Cal?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Because
I like it.
I haven't played very much of it.
Ah, fair enough. I've played a lot of it. The multiplayer out for it now is it's very cooperative. Like, what's that other game? Like, you know how Stardew Valley, you have the same money and same stuff when
yes.
you play cooperative? Yeah, it's basically that. You're all, I think it's up to 10 players mm-hmm. off memory, and you all build the same prison. I guess it makes it easier to keep track of what's going on in the prison and, like, build multiple things at once. But at the same time, I could just be like, oh, you're doing it the wrong way. And
yes,
I didn't want that bunk there. To go there.
Mm.
It'd still be fun. So I think we should definitely play it. It's only in the you have to actually, like, manually select the option in the Steam option. So you have to, like, right click on the game, go properties, select test version of the game or whatever.
Okay.
They what did they say? I watched the developer update for it. It all the base features are in it, so you can do all the building and stuff, but, like, reporting and ordering all the guards to go on, like, a surge or stuff is still something that only the host can do.
Right, okay.
Sort of like how the host in Stardew has the main house, which, not that it matters, because, like, you can sleep in both of them, but that's not the point.
Yeah, but
it's weird.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I'm going to play it this week, and I'll let everybody know next time about what I think of it. I think it'll just be more fun.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be more fun with the more people you do it with, though. Because, like, even if you, like, lose and your prison, like, loses all the money, you'll be like, ha, look at the stupid things we, built, did. I trapped this prisoner and he died. It'd be funny.
Mm.
So the next is THQ Nordic acquires Kingdom of Amalur. I never know how to pronounce that. Amalur? Amula?
I guess so.
Amalu? They announced on Twitter that they acquired the IP from 38 Studios. Saying that out loud is actually worse than reading it, because it sounds like I'm saying they bought it from 38 separate studios, but there's actually a studio named
38
Studios.
Yeah, I'm like, man, they did a lot of work.
Yeah, like, it never buying occurred to me everybody. Until I said it out loud, because, like, it just didn't. And I said it, I'm like, oh, that sounds like I don't know what I'm talking about. they mentioned on Twitter that they acquired the IP. But along with others, but they didn't mention what were the others from 38 Studios. The only other thing that people know about from 38 Studios was this thing called Project Copernicus, which was an MMO, but the project never saw the light of day. Acquiring the IP doesn't mean that they're going to do anything with it, but why would you buy it and not do anything with it?
So someone else can't, I don't know.
Well, like, so
like,
someone
it
else
could have been a group deal, maybe. Like,
yeah,
you know,
they got the humble. They got the humble bundle of IPs.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Like, 38 Studios went out of business like 2 weeks after Kingdom of Amalur came out. So that was, like, many years ago as well. So they've just kind of been sitting there doing nothing.
Mm.
So that's weird. I'm keen to see, because the world was really good for Kingdom of Amalur.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those games that, like, I think it was kind of like the studio's first game, and they nailed, like, a few parts of it, but they needed to fix the others, and
yeah,
because it was a new IP, and I think at that time there was, like, the Dragon Ages and things like that, so it just didn't compete very
bad
well.
Time.
Yeah. Didn't. What's that saying? There's a saying about that, like, you wrong place. Or right time, wrong place, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're probably like the right place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Because it was a good game. I enjoyed it. I played and finished it. But obviously, it didn't make enough money to keep them afloat. Because, oh, that's right, they took on, like, lots of debt to make the game or something like that.
Not a good idea.
Which was silly. Well, a lot of games have to do that. It's basically gambling, corporate gambling, which really sucks. But that's why we probably haven't seen a lot of, like, people's beautiful ideas because of money. So we'll talk more about that if we find out more. Next, Rebel Galaxy Outlaw. I saw 1 hour of gameplay. So after last week, we talked about their release trailer, and then, like, an hour after I released our podcast, they're like, and 1 hour of gameplay. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
So last week I said it kind of reminds me of, like, Cyberpunk 2077 and stuff, just on the way that they did the trailers. I now don't think that.
Okay. Cool.
So to me, what I got from it, so there's games like Star Citizen and Elite Dangerous. It's definitely that type of thing. Like, it's a space sim. But it's doesn't take itself as seriously. Like, it's trying to be fun. It's like trying to be the GTA of those games.
Right.
Like, you can go around the universe, do missions, have fun. There's a full story. I guess that's how I would put it. There's a radio station from when you're flying. Like, there's different radio stations with commercials and stuff. So that was very GTA like.
Yeah.
It very much seems like a space GTA, and you, like, kit out your ship and stuff.
Cool.
It actually makes me want to play it more. The way they did it, because, like, with those space sims, Elite Dangerous and Star Citizen, they're always really, like, we want it to be, like, super serious.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do all these trade deals, blah, 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 blah. Whereas this one just looks fun. You go into, like, bars, you play pool, you bet, like, parts of your ship with other people, and you're just like, ah, whatever, and you have fun.
Yeah.
And I think that's for someone like me who doesn't have the time to play Star Citizen or Elite Dangerous, but I do like the concept of those types of games, this is for me.
Right. Okay.
What would your thoughts about that be? If any.
About what exactly?
What do you think about having different commitment levels of games? So these are all Space Sims games. Uh-huh. I'd say Star Citizen takes the most commitment. Like, you need to quit your full-time job to, like, get anywhere in the game. Elite Dangerous is kind of the mid, and then this game will be, like, the casual version of it.
Yep.
Something just fell. I think it's good to have that thing. The only problem is, not a problem, it's a problem with just how many games there are out at the moment, is that, like, we have friends who want to play the more serious ones, and then other friends that won't, and then, like, everyone's playing different games.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a friend group together to play just one game sometimes.
Yes.
Because I remember, like, 10 years ago when you were LAN, there were 7 games out, and everyone probably had those 7 games.
Pretty much.
So you'd be like, all right, we'll play one of those. But now everyone, like, has a vastly different Steam library. Like, because you can compare a Steam library. I'll compare it with some people, and it will be very, what's the word? Different. Like, you'll have some, the games that you have in common is usually, like, games that everyone got from Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
Not.
Or just, like, the standard, of course everyone's going to acquire this one.
Oh, these 6 free games that everybody has. Because, usually everyone has Terraria, I can't think of anything else. There's a bunch of single-player ones that everyone always has, but obviously they get dismissed straight away. Because why not? Because, like, everyone, I think the games I have most in common with people are the Telltale games.
Yeah, they're pretty.
Because, like, everyone has played them, basically. Which makes sense, but is also not great to play multiplayer with. Just trying to think of what a good common multiplayer game would be for people to play at the moment. Because, like, we play Dota, but that's not everyone plays that. I guess that's the thing. Oh, well, moving on. You've actually know a lot more about this than me. I know about this specific game, but Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Die.
How do I know more about?
Well, because you've watched a lot of YouTube on the series, and I have played one of the games for 10 minutes.
Barely.
I'd say you've seen a lot more of it than me.
Okay.
Just, yeah. So what do you think about this one coming out?
I don't know.
Is it going to be fun to watch?
Probably. I think it would probably be something more entertaining to play.
I like that it's going to be more modernized, because like the other games are all like 70s porn industry times, or 70s or 80s, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, they weren't. They were still like, there was one where it was at college.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, they differed in timelines.
They did differ, but I think they were all not modern, because like their kind of point for this one is it's the modern Leisure Suit Larry. I like the title, Wet Dreams Don't Dry. No, Wet Dreams Don't Dry. That's right.
Yeah.
The dating app in the game is called Timber, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
What puns could you make out of that?
I don't know. Probably something about wood.
There's a wood button. I hope there's a wood button. There's going to be something stupid on it. It's yes. A Leisure Suit Larry game. There's just going to be like a... I can't even imagine what they would imagine, but some strange thing.
Mm.
So that comes out November 7th for PC. You can pre-order it on Steam.
Which is unnecessary.
Yes, it is unnecessary, but you can do it. Don't do it. My advice is don't do it. So yeah, that's pretty cool. It is in the I wouldn't call it casual. It's in the what art style would you call it?
I don't.
It's not stylized. It's just cartoony. That's what I'd call it. Yeah, it's cartoony. It's point and click. Actually, they're not all point and click, are they? Some of them you kind of control a third person.
Yes.
Yeah. The older ones are point and click.
I'm pretty sure this one's point and click.
This new one is point and click. That was what I was mentioning it, because they went to the whole third person 3D thing for a while.
Mm.
Probably because that's what everyone was doing. But yes. Now everyone is making humongous big budget graphics games. So they're just like, we can't afford that. We'll just do a point and click.
Mm.
Which is probably suits it better, because it's not about.
Well, it's more of a puzzle solving.
It's puzzle solving, and it's more about the hilarity of the dialogue and conversations. It's not about running around collecting stuff.
Gameplay.
To be honest. If we're being honest, no one's playing it for the gameplay.
No.
Yeah, so that's good. So this week, one day of this week, I played a lot of Tomb Raider, because Shadow of the Tomb Raider is coming out soon. So I thought, and I owned the first two, so I was just like, oh, I got to finish them. So I got carried away and finished it in one day.
Yep.
As you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. I actually really enjoyed it. It's making me really appreciate the stuff I've seen in the trailers for Shadow of the Tomb Raider. But I got to play Rise of the Tomb Raider first.
So do I think.
So Shadow of the Tomb Raider, definitely, it's one of the games they're using as the, actually the Tomb Raider games have been used as like benchmarks for a while. I think when Tomb Raider came out, they were using it as like the 980 series graphics cards. Benchmarking game, like they'd bring out those few games with the graphics card saying, look how good this game looks on the newest technology stuff. They're doing it with this one again using the RTX cards, so using the game in ray tracing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen exactly what that looks like. Yeah, I just looked at the I actually watched an RTX demo of it today, and it was very pretty. The water, like when you're underwater and stuff, the lights definitely looked amazing. So I'm keen, but I'm also keen for, I think the one thing to just, is it just called Tomb Raider?
The first one?
Yeah.
Like the first one of the next gen? Yes, it's just called Tomb Raider.
This is the whole Star Wars thing all over again. Yes. You're like the first Tomb Raider or like the first Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, the one released recent times.
Yeah, it's just
Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider. I think the thing
Lara Croft Tomb Raider, maybe? Or just Tomb Raider? I'm not sure.
I think it's just Tomb Raider.
Either way.
Either way.
So, the Tomb Raider, maybe, I actually think.
Tomb Raider, two tomb, two raidery.
Yeah. Too fast, too tomb.
Too tomb, too furious. All right.
It's what tomb, two raider.
Two tomb, two raider. Oh, God. That's the second one.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was saying, yes, I think what the first one was missing for me was kind of like towns and like places that you could do trading and stuff. Like, I do appreciate that it was on an island.
That's not Tomb Raider, though.
Okay, maybe it's not, but I like that because, like, part of the whole being an archaeologist, you go to, like, a town, you find out rumors, you go hunting for tombs.
That's just like saying, like, oh, it didn't have, like, you know, trading card abilities. It's like, yeah, because it's not that sort of game.
To me, well,
it's never been that sort of game.
It's not about that being that sort of game. Like, it's adding things that I think are good to the series. I think it would be good. I will enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I loved finding those hidden tombs, even if I forgot one because of the stupid cutscene that cut me off once. That's not the point. Yeah, this new one looks like you can walk around non-violent NPCs, which is like a good mix-up.
So we're just going to say you can walk around non-violently.
Yeah, like, yeah, or nonchalant.
Jesus, that's one way of describing it.
Yes, it is. I think it gives a nice dynamic to the game because I really hate, no, I didn't hate it. It was just like it got a bit old after a while in the first one where you would walk around and you'd hear people talking and then they'd be like, ah, you have to kill them. And some of the conversations were pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, they did good with the dialogue.
Like, so I'd just listen into their conversation, waiting for them to finish so they could walk off and I could shoot them individually.
Because if you interrupt them during a sentence.
Yeah, they one the of them was just like, But if like, they were facing back to each other, like, they would not see each other. Like, did I hear my friend fall?
Nah.
It's fun. Oh, fuck, I just got shot.
In my head.
I love it. I love that you could shoot three people without either any of them knowing. Like, it was pretty funny.
Being fully aware. Maybe the last guy's just like, I think something's up.
Yeah, something. So, yeah, that happens. But I think it will give a lot more dynamic to that. Because while I appreciated the game, it just felt not empty. There's a word that I'm looking for, and I can't think what it is. But shallow might be it. For NPCs, at least.
Yeah, because, again, that's not what it's been about.
You're
like, I want more out of my NPCs in a game that has never, ever put any emphasis on NPCs.
That's not the point. If they made the same game every time.
It's like saying, oh, I'm missing something from Dota because it's not open world.
No, or, I don't think it is. Like, I don't think it's the same at all.
You're wanting something from a game that's never, ever. I could understand you saying this if, like, one or the games prior to this had been a certain way. No, not at all.
That, you're saying, like, the game was this way, it should only be this way forever.
I'm just saying, like, to say, oh, it's missing this, it's like...
When I played through it, that is what I felt it was missing.
Yeah.
From the experience that I was having.
But, like, a lot of games are missing a lot of things because they don't, like, cover everything.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it needed spaceships. I don't think it needs spaceships.
It was missing spaceships.
It is, but I don't think that would enhance the experience. I'm thinking
could have. You could have gone to outer space. Done outer space.
For my personal experience, it was missing more NPC dialogue stuff because I like that.
Could have had NPC aliens.
It could have, but it shouldn't.
See? Missing a lot of stuff.
It is missing, but it's not what's needed, is my point. Your point is that if the game changes at all, it must be horrible.
If anything, I think it was lacking tombs.
I will agree with you there. It was, I guess it's hard, though, because technically there wouldn't be 40 different tombs on the island.
No, but that's like, that's why.
Because it's meant to be.
Oh, this is a cool game, but I don't know if you could necessarily say it's a Tomb Raider game because there was a distinct lack of actual.
Well, she is the Tomb Raider, right?
Yeah, but like.
Yeah, no. Let me finish my thought. Her one, like, you're playing through one of her Tomb Raiding adventures, which very much actually just revolved around a cult and there was lack of a tomb and.
Yeah, but normally, from my experience, which I won't necessarily say is super extensive of the Tomb Raider series, you go, like, to a tomb for the purpose of raiding it.
Yep.
And the adventure is you going through the tomb. And, like, the end goal, end game, is, like, to get through the tomb. And there's, like, enemies and stuff that you come across, obviously. And, like, that's the purpose. Like, you're in the tomb and you're doing tomb raiding. And, like, in this one, she was like, oh, like a secret little mini tomb kind of thing.
And I do get that, but, you know, they do, like, being an archaeologist or a tomb raider, 90% of your time will not be raiding the tomb. It will be finding out how to get there, doing the research, and I think not
that. Yeah, but that's not what she was doing either.
No, she wasn't. They, like, got trapped on an island.
Yeah. It's like a lost version of Tomb Raider. It's,
no,
like,
you knew what was happening basically the whole time.
She was going to be doing something, and then that didn't happen.
And I think where.
Which also would have been fine if they crash landed and, like, their whole thing was going through the tomb. Like, if there was an actual tomb.
So, it wasn't a tomb, but there was, like, the chamber that the queen was in. Not every tomb is going to, like, be a tomb underground somewhere, right? Like, she's an archaeologist doing archaeologist just things.
What?
Yep, I said it. Doing archaeology things.
No, I get that, but, like, I'm not saying they have to be underground, but, like, most of the things are, like, temples or something, like, less in line with just, like, navigating around, like, a village like she was.
Yeah.
It was more about, like, this ancient structure, and I know it gets that way towards the end.
And I think that's the correct approach, though.
But, like, most of it was spent, like, navigating around an island.
But, yeah, she's got to find where she needs to go. Like, that's our whole point of being an archaeologist.
Yeah. I just felt there was, like, a lack of emphasis on the actual tomb. Because most of it was just her trying to get her friends back.
Yes. Well, this is the prequel to her being the Tomb Raider.
Still.
So that makes sense.
That's like, you know, all of the bloody Star Wars prequels just being like, oh, yeah, it's not based in space anymore.
No, it's based about a,
like,
whiny teenager.
This is before they were in space. I was like, well, then it, like, it's not really Star Wars, is it?
Yes, it is.
Because they're not in space.
It's the most Star Wars you've ever Star Warsed. That's not the point. So, I think, I don't know if Rise of the Tomb Raider or this one is where she actually, like, becomes the moniker of Tomb Raider. Oh, I don't know. Someone was telling me, and I was just like, yeah, she wasn't really the Tomb Raider in the first one because they saw me playing it. And I was just like, yep, yeah, that's a thing. So that comes out in like 4 days. I think it's the September 15th, which is Shadow of the Tomb Raider, that is. I don't know what you can actually do in the towns. You'll probably be able to trade for crafting supplies and do other stuff. It looked like you had that Jonah guy, I assume it was the Jonah guy following you around a lot of places in the trailer.
The what guy?
Jonah from the first game.
Which one's Jonah?
The big Maori-looking guy.
Oh, yes.
Samoan guy.
Yes, it did look like that.
So either they got a completely another character that looks like him.
She got a replacement.
Yeah, her token guy.
Maori guy.
Or... something happened in Rise of the Tomb Raider, and this is a different person, and I don't know. I need to play it. I am going to probably smash through Rise of the Tomb Raider in the next week or so, so I can get Shadow of the Tomb Raider, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want it. Now, let's talk about last week. We were talking about Japanese game studio structure. Well, sort of, because we were talking about Monster Hunter. So I did some looking up of how their companies are formed, or not formed, managed. In Japan, they don't actually have game designers. If you are a game designer or want to be a game designer, please do not move to Japan. You will be very disappointed in what your day-to-day activities will be. They have people called planners, so they manage all the resources and stuff. They don't make any decisions, or they're very unlikely to. So you might get the one lead designer who takes options from other people, but mostly you'll get one key person who's called the director of the game, and they kind of choose the whole direction of it, right? And the rest are planners, and they plan, or they organize who's doing what art needs to get done, all that stuff. They kind of make that one person's vision come to life, I guess. So that's how they organize their game companies. Now, Monster Hunter's director is Yuya Tokuda. I could not find too much about him and his style, but for argument's sake, I would assume that it would be the norm in Japan. Unless, because like if he had stuff written about him, it would be because he doesn't follow the norm, right?
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
No, that's why I researched it. That's why I looked into it. Because I had a vague idea of how it worked, but not a exact idea. Which is fine. They also get paid really badly there. Like, it is definitely a passion thing. Like, more so than the rest of the world.
Yes. But
some of their games are a lot better, so I don't know. It's hard. I think, like, the only people that make a lot of money are the Nintendites. Nintendo people. Yes. I call them Nintendites. But yeah. That's a massive company, and they've done...
They probably still don't.
Yeah, they've done really well. And Sony. I guess, like, they have a lot of really big companies, actually.
Japan does. But ground-level people aren't probably going to
be... Your indie studios and stuff aren't going to do well. And, yeah, like, the person just hired as a junior artist is probably still living at home or lives paycheck to paycheck and hates life. So that's that. What I found out this week, if you want to rename your battle tag or like your name on Blizzard, you get one free rename, which I apparently used like a long time ago.
Yeah, because you went from Albatross to Hookshot.
Hookshot to Albatross.
Oh, Hookshot to Albatross.
To rename it again costs $13.45 Australian. You can do this on Steam or GOG or even Origin, I think. I need to check Origin. I think Origin
you pay as well.
You didn't used to.
I think.
I haven't used Origin in so long. The last game I played was Titanfall 2 when it came out, I think. So, and at the very end of the game, I learned Matt Mercer was the whole voice of it, and I was just like, huh. I was very immersed and did not know that.
Yes.
But yes, all these other services do it for free. All their system is doing is renaming one field in their database, and they're charging $13 for it. It requires zero admin, zero anything. It is absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe they get away with this crap, basically.
I guess. I don't know. They are, so.
It's like, if I was to go into a restaurant, I get one free look at the menu, but subsequent looks at the menus cost me $7.
Yeah, pick what you want.
That is how ridiculous. You'd be screwed.
Yeah, I would. Oof.
So don't you give me that attitude.
I'm guessing just not enough people have complained about it.
Yeah, it's, well,
because I don't think it's generally something that most people would be looking at, to be honest. Well, I think they pick their name and that's that.
No, I agree with you.
So, possibly a lot of people don't even know that this costs.
The other thing is there are a lot of people that are like Blizzard fanboys or fangirls, and they will defend any practice they do because they're like, oh, they need to make money, when they're like one of the biggest money making, like their profit margin is much, much higher than like anything else. And people are saying, oh, they need the money.
Okay.
It's just, gets to me, Caitlin.
I can see.
Yeah, so they should be more like Steam, which, oh my God, I am saying someone should be more like Steam in an area.
Mm.
That's how bad they are. Valve is terrible, and Valve's lazy. They're not terrible. Valve would make it cost if it meant they didn't, if they could do it with like a way where they didn't have to develop it themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
They would do it. That's their philosophy.
Fair.
All right. Let's get back to talking about something that doesn't make me super, super angry. And that is Pathfinder Kingmaker, which is coming out September 25th, which is in like 2 weeks, and I'm keen to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, they released a new video, which is like they're a group of people talking in a tavern about the different stories that they went through in the game, essentially.
Reminiscing.
Which I would assume is like its quests that the player can go on. There was like a troll that you could talk to or kill, and they killed him, and some other dragons they killed.
Yeah.
I'm really keen for this game. I think I'm really keen for it, though, because I've played a lot of D&D games.
Mm.
So I know all the monsters I'm going to expect to see and stuff. I've never played a Pathfinder game, and I don't know how different their lore is.
They're pretty similar.
I imagine they're similar for, like, dwarves and elves and stuff. But, like, you know how, like, beholders are, like, iconic to D&D and mind flayers are iconic to D&D? I don't know what the iconic Pathfinder monsters would be.
I think they're pretty similar.
Well, they can't be because copyright. Like, I know of some people who have been sued. I don't know them personally, but there have been companies that have been like sued or like DMCA'd to take out beholders or beholder looking creatures from their games.
Mm. Don't know.
Like for common things such as dwarves and elves and drow and those things, they'll all be like stock standard, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I'm keen. Plus, after I saw the trailer for this today, because I was trying to launch Fable, and it wouldn't launch.
Mm.
It's because, like, the whole Kingmaker thing, and you get to rule a thing. I was just like, ah, that kind of reminds me of Fable. So I wanted to play some Fable. And then Fable 3.
And then you couldn't.
Wouldn't work. It loaded with a black screen. That made me sad. Also, what games should never do, which is what I found out Fable 3 does. When you launch the game on Steam, you have to activate it with their other activation service, and you get a limited amount of activations. I'm like, no, I've bought the game, you piece of crap. Let me just play the game.
Wait, what do you mean?
So you get a key that you have to activate with, like, whoever makes Fable 3's servers. It's Microsoft or something.
Mm.
So you have to externally activate it. But because I've already played it on PC, which means would have activated it on a previous Windows installation I had, and I haven't played it for a long time since then.
Yep.
So because I've got a new Windows installation, they would be like, oh, you have to activate your thing again because it's not activated on this system, and you only get a certain number of those.
Oh. That's a bit.
I know EA did it with a few of the Command & Conquers, and I did it one too many times, and I actually had to ring a number. And be like, I need to activate my, like, this game I legally owned, because if I didn't legally own it, I wouldn't have to activate it because I would have cracked it.
Mm.
So the only person this was hurting was me, the person who legally bought it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I had to ring up and be like, yeah, like, I've rebuilt my computer. And this was like when I was a 20-something year old or just before 20, and I had spare money, and, you know, I didn't have responsibilities, so I bought new computer parts a lot, and I reinstalled Windows a lot because of that, because I'd a new system.
Yeah.
And we played a lot of Command & Conquer 3 and Cain's Wrath back then because it was a great land game. Those things that they also don't do these days.
Mm.
So, yeah, I had to do that. It was not a great experience off memory because they were like, oh, you shouldn't activate it so much. And I'm like, I'll do what I want. Like,
yeah. I do what I want with my computer.
Yeah, like.
Fucking, yeah. Maybe you should make it not do this stupid thing.
Yeah, I remember being, like, extremely annoyed at the whole situation, and they did not make me feel any better about it. I was just like, why? Why is any of this a thing? It frustrates me now.
Yeah.
It was so long ago.
Let's just stop talking about it.
Yep. So another thing coming out September 20th on the good old PC, Xbox, everything else. Pathfinder's coming out for PC and Shadow of the Tomb Raider's coming for PS4, Xbox, and PC, not surprisingly.
Yep.
Unsurprisingly, whatever. Both work.
Both.
Yeah, they both work? All right. That's awesome. Life is Strange 2, or the first episode. So here is my conundrum. Do I play it each episode as it comes out, or do I wait till the whole thing's?
Yeah.
That's hard.
I don't know.
Because you know how they do the episodic releases?
Yes, I do know.
Yeah.
You would want to wait to play it all in one hit.
I think so.
But you also really want to play it, like...
Do a let's play of it.
Yeah.
Ah...
I think you're going to just have to play it in episodes.
Makes me sad. Because, like, the first one, Life is Strange. I remember finding there was a sale for it. Oh, no, I think there was that's right. They mentioned the sale on, like, the Steam store or something, and they said, first episode's free, but, like, it's also 75% off or something. I was like, oh, I'll play the first episode. Because this is when I had good internet and could actually download a game and, like, play it in, like, 10 minutes.
Mm.
But everyone was playing a game at a LAN, and I really didn't like that game. I was like, oh, I'll just, like, test out this thing. I'll, like, try out this thing while you guys do that. Like, 12 hours later, they were all playing, like, a completely different game, and I was just finishing it. I was like, that was such an emotional journey.
Good God.
It's an emotional journey.
Yeah.
But, like, that's, I remember, like, if I had to stop at episode one, I would have been like, what happens? Kill me.
Yeah.
I need to know. So that was definitely.
I played it in episodes.
You did? So you played it as it came out?
Yep. Because I don't quite know how I came onto it, but I came onto it and.
Probably heard that it was an emotional, heart-wrenching story and you're like, this is for
me. No one would have known that yet because it was
the
first episode.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. Did you just see it on Steam and thought, oh, this sounds good?
Possibly. Possibly did.
I mean, that's how a lot of things happen.
Yeah, and I ended up having to wait as episodes come out, and then, like, when they came out, I was pretty on it. Like, remembering when they came out and playing it as soon as it came out. You could even pre-download it.
I remember when they did stuff like that. That's
I'm pretty
very
sure.
Very rare now.
If I remember, you could have it downloaded, ready to go, and then it would just unlock when it was released.
Oh, yep.
I'm pretty sure. I vaguely remember something like that. It's a very long time ago, but.
So, I also saw this week lots of Battlefield 5 because the beta came out, I believe. I don't even think you needed a pre-order of the game. I think you could just download the beta, which I could never do because it would take me 4 days to download the beta, then the beta would be over because Australian internet. Woo. But it looks really good. If they don't stuff anything up with microtransactions or, like, some season pass, like, as if they don't stuff it up, the gameplay itself actually looks like what everyone wants.
Good.
Which is nice because that, I don't think EA / DICE / any of the companies they own has never had a gameplay problem, minus what BioWare did with Andromeda? Andromeda? Is that what it was called?
We don't mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, all their Battlefield games and stuff, you know, they're always pretty on point.
Mm.
It's just for 3 and 4 and 1, they had season passes, expansions, and if some people bought the expansions and some people didn't, they couldn't play together.
Yeah.
Like, it just it continually divided up. What they're trying to do with this one is all new maps and stuff are free.
Mm.
And I think they're just doing cosmetic unlocks.
Yep.
But I have heard some stuff about unlocking weapons early and stuff by using some sort of currency.
Money.
I don't know. I hope they don't do that.
Would suck.
Yeah, like, it's just not hard to... I'm the odd one out because there's people that, the people that want to, because I think we discussed this before, it's people that want to be better, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The people that want to be better than everyone else quicker are the people that spend money on it.
And yeah.
They like those systems. Sad. I guess it's because I don't care about losing. So, like, if I lose a match, I'll be like, as long as I had fun.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Especially if I'm playing with other people that I personally know. Like, that's a lot more fun because we can be like, because, like, you can win in a moment. It's not about winning the match sometimes. Sometimes you'll be like, we just pulled off that really cool thing where, like, you ambushed and I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever people do in those war games. I haven't played one in a long time. You did the loop-de-loop flip.
Good use of the
machine gunning thing.
Good use of the but, lingo.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So you can, like, experience a moment like that and be really happy and, like, you might lose the game and you might, with your friends after, you'll be like, we lost, but, like, it was really cool when we did that thing.
Yes.
Which is nice and you don't need to be winning to do that, but I guess not everyone's like that.
No.
I guess especially people that play by themselves, they are playing to win, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, like, if they're playing on a team, like, but of people they don't know, then they want to be as good as they can be.
Gotta show off.
So that people aren't
for the other kidlets.
Yeah. So the other people aren't like, you're shit.
For the other 12-year-olds.
You don't have this thing. You fully suck.
Ironically, not 12-year-olds because they can't afford the microtransactions.
They steal their parents' credit cards.
Steal their parents' credit cards. We've heard of someone who did that in, like, the real life.
Yeah. No, heaps of kids do it.
I can't believe that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a whole thing.
Wow. That would be funny because the kid we would have known of would have got their account banned.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure the parent got the payments reversed.
Yeah.
So, sucks for them. Yeah. That's, like, really bad because they... How do you teach the kids to better relate to money, I guess? Or is it just, like, it's just a hard thing to do?
Well, in this situation, it would have been a teachable moment. Of going, do you see how if you steal people's money, there are consequences and now you're paying for them?
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I imagine the kid went ballistic.
Who knows? But I think it would be a matter of maybe because you can get credit cards and stuff now. Not like credit cards, but like
debit
cards in the same sense of like – Yeah, I guess debit cards can do it now as well. Like you can get debit cards for kids.
Not in most of the world. That's an Australian thing.
Anyway, you can get debit cards for kids.
Yep.
And that transfer their pocket money into that, right? So rather than actually giving them cash, you can, they have their own special account that's, like, that has different rules and stuff,
yes.
Obviously, more in tune with children and pocket money and whatnot. But then by doing that, you can, like, give them their pocket money and then basically be like, this is yours to spend on what you want to spend it on. You know, like your hard-earned
money.
$50 on microtransactions in games, you'll soon see that it doesn't, like, get you as far as you want it to be. And, like, you'll end up spending all your money and having nothing left, and then that's it sort of thing. Because I think if you connect it back to their own money, because you could say, you get a limited number of transactions or something per week or something,
yep.
Whatever, right? And you just you do the transaction for them with your money, right?
Yes.
But they don't then see that the money's gone. They just see it as, I've just got this thing.
Yep.
But if you make it so that they're spending their money, look, I don't know. I mean, some kids are probably stupid enough that they'd still do it.
Yep.
But
do you know what's awesome?
Hopefully they'd start to see, like, that if they're spending all their money on microtransactions in games, they can't spend it on anything else, and the value of what they're getting, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yes. I will probably not have a credit card or a physical card soon. The day that they allow me not to have a physical one, I won't. I will just have it enabled on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So kid can't steal that if they don't know any of the codes or anything. Because, like, with a physical credit card, everything you need to make the payment is on the card.
Yes.
Online. But not to withdraw money, because you need a PIN for that, which that's what online purchases have really always confused me.
The idea that it's somehow easier to steal someone's money by making online purchases,
yeah,
rather than trying to withdraw the money directly, yep, out of the account.
Yeah. It's, yeah, weird. Another thing that I just thought of is I just realized why lots of companies have gift cards. I was like, why do you have Netflix gift cards? Like, you just make a $12 payment, because people under the age of 18 can't have debit or credit cards, so they need some way to be able to purchase and maintain an account. It's through, mm-hmm, those sorts of cards.
Well, actually, that being said, I don't think gift cards count. Like, I think if you need to be 18 to use a service, you still need to be 18 to use a service. You can't, I don't think you can base an account off of a gift card.
Well, no, because you don't need to be 18 to, like, purchase something on the PSN, like on the store.
Pretty sure you do.
I'm fairly certain you don't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you do. And if not, like, if you, look, obviously you don't need to be, because you can just type in that you are. Right?
Love those services, yep.
But I think the idea is that there has to be an adult,
yep,
connected with the account.
Yes.
And then either, you know, because you know how they have that whole, like, family account thing now?
Yeah, everything has it, yep.
Yeah. So, like, I think you need to have, like, a primary adult, and then, like, you can have kids' accounts connected off of that. But I think you actually do still need to be 18.
Yeah.
To use the store. It's just a matter of fact that a lot of under 18s are using the store. That doesn't mean that it's okay.
I definitely want to look this up, because otherwise I see 0 point in that stuff.
In what stuff?
Having gift cards for those payment services. Anyway. Yeah, I guess we'll move on from that stuff. Good old tangents. So, yeah, we will look that up and bring it up next week, though, because I am very interested, especially from game services, because you are definitely allowed to have, like, a Steam account under 18. You don't need a parent. Like, that is completely allowed. You just can't buy games that are higher rated than your age.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's definitely one.
Yeah, but my point was that, like, for Netflix and stuff, you still need to input a credit card.
Even if you only get those cards?
Yep.
That's weird.
No, because, like, I don't know if you ever did the 3-month trial or the 1-month trial or whatever it was, like, before you actually signed up and said, yes, I'm keeping Netflix.
Yes.
But to do that, you had to put in your credit card.
I think that would work differently, though.
No.
Nah, we'll see.
Gift cards would give your account credit so that they wouldn't charge you.
Fair enough.
But the account itself still needs to be established off of some form.
Things like Amazon and PSN, though, you likely can have just a normal account without putting it.
Oh, yeah. Things that where you fill up credit, so to speak, like, you know, on Steam, how you have, like, your Steam wallet.
Yeah, because that's how, like, if a kid had pocket money, they would, like, go buy $50 of PlayStation Network credit, right? Put it on their account, and that's how they would buy a game themselves without a credit card.
If you're saying if they get the cash in hand.
Yes.
Then they could go buy a gift card for $50.
Yeah.
And then put that in, yes.
Or a Steam card. Because I see them everywhere, and I'm like, it has always confused me.
Yeah.
And it only just hit me that that's a great use case for them.
Yes. And it's also for, like, situations, I guess, like, a lot of, like, you and I are in that, like, there's a lot of relatives around us who are aware that we like games and that we like to play games.
What? People think we like games?
But aren't fully in the know of, like, how to purchase us again. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they're like,
I would love to see my grandparents going on Steam, like, what game would he like?
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not so far into it that they know that they could, like, purchase us a game and send it to us as a gift. It's literally just like, I want to give them money towards something that they're going to spend it on, and I know enough, like, how people give us, like, Games Workshop, like, gift cards. Any sort of gift card, basically. It's like, I have a vague idea of their interest, and I don't know enough to know to get them a specific item, but I want to fund them getting
I
something.
I want to fund their interest.
Yeah, I want to fund their interest, so I'm going to give them a gift card that severely restricts where they can spend my money, because let's face it, like, just give me $50 and I'll decide what I want it on. But
it's what I've always hated about the culture of gift giving.
It's actually one of those, like, gift cards, I get it, because it's sort of, because a lot of times people are like, oh, here's like $50, go spend it on something for yourself and have fun. And then that $50 always ends up going towards just buying lunch for the week or or like paying a bill, you know, and it never does go towards anything fun.
Yeah.
But making, like, giving them a gift card actually says, no, this money is going towards this, and you're gonna spend it on that sort of thing.
That's a good point.
So, like, I get the idea of, like, oh, you're telling me where to spend the money, you know, sort of thing. But yeah, you are, because it's like, it's about getting you something that you'll enjoy, not just like feeding you for a week.
I will enjoy being fed.
But I will enjoy that. So, like, please don't hesitate to give me like a Coles gift card for just food.
It's a great birthday present. All right. One last thing. Nintendo. So they have stated that not all of their games will have cloud saves enabled. Things like Pokemon, for example, will not, so people can't, like, somehow cheat and, like, turn their system off. I don't know what they thought was going to happen, but essentially it's to stop people cheating of somehow, like, getting their cloud save back after they, like, lost a fight or things like that might happen. So there won't be cloud saves for some games like that.
Mm.
So, you know the 60 hours you might put into a Pokemon game and you might lose the save because your system corrupted and you're like, oh, cool, I didn't have cloud saves on this because I'm not allowed to.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'll never touch this game again.
Yeah, that's definitely a way to make someone never touch a game again. It's not cool, bro. I don't like it. Nintendo do so well sometimes and then get really backwards on, like, a really specific thing. They'll be like, all right.
Yeah, it is oddly specific.
Everyone, yeah, it's, like, you have cloud saves. Like, why does it matter if someone's...
Nobody can save their game if they're facing east at sunset on Tuesday. Like, why?
You know, dragons and demons and stuff. So, it's very specific. They make so many good decisions. Like, they've done so well with the Switch, and they're really making it hard to continue thinking they're doing a great job with all the stuff they're going to be doing with this online, all their online play, and
obviously two different people are in the decision seat for these two things.
Well, yeah, actually, that's a great point. The people that make the games and the system are probably different from the people running the online part of it, right?
Probably.
And the people running the online part of it are really out of touch and don't understand the gaming community, because it's probably a business person who's just like, I don't play games.
Because they're still not doing, like, backwards compatibility. Like, they're getting there.
No, they're not. I wish they were.
They will be eventually, but my point being is, like, yeah, this whole you know, Nintendo store has so much more possibility if they embraced, like, hey, how about we put our old games on there? And
yes,
you know, like, yeah, all of this online stuff is a little bit backwards.
It really much is. And, like, this is the thing with Japanese companies, by the way, because Sony is a Japanese company, and they're all like, no crossplay, ever.
That is true, yeah.
And Nintendo is just like, bad online experience, always.
And no crossplay, or are they crossplay?
No, they're crossplay now.
Okay.
They, there was a tweet from Xbox to Nintendo, like, hey, Nintendo, Fortnite later? Like, it was a whole...
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
It was a whole joke.
That was
like,
funny.
Because, like, that's the way to gain some customers for both those and not Sony. Mm. Yeah, it's really weird because I don't see any other companies in the world making, like, yes, they make big mistakes, like EA with their press releases and how they talk to their customers sometimes. But, like, they never, if they know they're making, like, a mistake, they'll be like, all right, we're going to turn this around, like, immediately because we want people to like us.
Mm.
Whereas Nintendo or Sony will be like, yeah, we can see everyone hates us, but we are sticking to this decision.
But this is the way we are doing it.
Yeah, like, it's specific, and, like, they get stubborn about it.
Mm.
Like, so stubborn.
I think
stubborn.
That's the case. They're like, no, we made this decision.
You will see that this is the right decision. Yeah. And then, like, the next console, they'll be like, okay, that wasn't the right decision, but we're not mentioning it ever.
Yeah, but we made the idea to do it differently this time.
Yeah.
It's not because of what you said. We're doing it because we want to.
It's 100% that argument.
Okay, Nintendo.
Or Sony. Both of them. They're as bad as each other in different ways, in my opinion. They're both doing better than Microsoft, though, actually. Microsoft really has nothing going for it. Actually, I can't say that. Like, from my view, they're doing the all their games are kind of coming out on PC at the moment, because hopefully Halo 5 is. Because their Windows Store is, like, kind of Game Anywhere now. So,
good idea.
I like that. I like that a lot. It makes me happy. So I think that's it for this wonderful week. We hit some good things. There's a lot of, like, triple anus coming out now. Triple A games.
No, you said it.
I know. I did it on purpose.
So many triple anus.
So, yeah, it's like, definitely a lot of indie stuff coming out as well, but there's just also, because we had that, like, lull of after E3, after Gamescom kind of thing where, like, it was lots of stuff right now and then nothing for lots of weeks. I think we're kind of getting back into the normal rhythm.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that was announced is kind of slowly coming out, which is nice.
Woo.
So I'm happy. As always, if you want to chat to us or ask us anything, hit us up on twitter.com/Kescast. Or you can see us on our YouTube channel. We do lots of Let's Plays and stuff. I'm thinking of getting back into reviews. I'm not sure. They take a lot of time. That's the problem.
Mm.
Which sucks, but we'll see.
Yep.
What else do we do? We occasionally stream. We've been not doing that recently, but we will try and get back into it. I want to get Caitlin streaming
Witcher.
The Witcher 2, which he is playing. Cause I
two
want
Witcher,
to.
Two Furies.
That works because he gets furious.
He does.
He gets furious.
I have a question, though.
Yep.
If that's going to happen, do I have to restart?
No.
I just pick up.
No, it's save? Streaming. It's not like, because, like, it's a live thing, right?
I get it's a live thing. I'm just saying, do you want to stream game?
No. Nah. Do whatever you want.
All right.
The reason,
because I just got, like, a tattoo removed and I'm pretty stoked.
Okay.
Because I got drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And got a tattoo.
It's a tattoo?
A tattoo.
No, yeah, you can just, like, do whatever, because no one's ever always, like, okay, you are going to have those people that are always there for every stream, but, like, a lot of people will just jump in, and they're more there to, in my opinion, they're more there for seeing your personality playing the game than they are to see the game being played.
Well, then we're screwed. I have no personality.
You do. Now shut up. Put your personality away. You've got a great personality. Yeah, so that's fun. Unless it's, like, a brand new game, like Spider-Man, for example.
Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
I've heard. I love. We didn't talk about Spider-Man this week, but that's because we haven't played it, and that makes me sad. Do we get a PS4?
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, you can catch us on those things. So thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with more Questcast. So goodbye.